Well, it's a beautiful day at Grace Baptist Church, a beautiful day for church family. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my family? Children, you are dismissed for Children's Church. Would you pray with me as we begin? God and Father, we are so grateful for the holiday season, Christmas season, and what it reminds us of. Thank you for everybody that you have brought together. We do bring before you those that are in poor health physically. Lord, I pray that it would be said of them that they are still in excellent health spiritually. That in the middle of all of this physical struggle, you would use that physical strain to bring them spiritual wholeness as well. Lord, that you would use it in their life, that it wouldn't be wasted pain. Lord, thank you for the ability that we have to gather together this morning and just examine what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would examine us, that we would be encouraged to press towards the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ, that would be our pursuit, that would be our goal and our aim. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are a church family, and as with every family, there are traditions this time of year, right? And I want to begin a new one. I want to begin a new one today. And I'm going to call it the year-end review. No, this is not the cheat sheet where you get to hear all the year sermons in one Sunday. That's not the way it's going to work. Nobody would want that. This is going to be a review of the year and a review of our vision statement every year, where we re-examine and refocus on what we believe God has called us to as a church. Now, if this is your first time with us, if you're watching online, don't tune out. This is still for you because you still get to have an opportunity of hearing what is the theme behind everything that we do here at Grace Baptist, the heartbeat that pulses in every part of what we do. And it is our vision as a church. And if this is your first time here, or if you have been here for hundreds of years, don't do the math, it's okay. I still think you're going to find new ways that you can connect with this church family, new ways that you can be involved, new ways that you can use what God has given you and have your needs met by this family as well. Because we all bring something to give, and we all have needs of each other. That's part of being a family, isn't it? So I'm hoping that as we look at this vision statement, I'm hoping that you will find a way for this to impact you. So here is our vision statement we adopted this year. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. And yes, the colors are there for a reason. I didn't just decide to be obnoxious and highlight things in different colors. I'm obnoxious in other ways. You don't need that. But we exist as a community, that's the orange of Grace Baptist, to glorify God, blue, we'll get into those colors in a moment. So you get that there's a color coordination behind all this. This is the statement that leads to this model. Worship, glorifying, they go together. And connecting, those two are the foundational principles. Now, serve, seek, and grow are expressions of these two principles. Everything that we do here is to glorify God. We exist to glorify God, period. You could make that our theme statement, period. But we also want to clarify how we do that, because it's every person's purpose to glorify God. How do we do that as Grace Baptist? If you remove worship from the foundation, everything else you see there crumbles. We are no longer a church if we are not here to glorify God and worship. We are then a Christian club. That's it. We are here to worship, to inspire authentic awe of God. By the way, you have a little cheat sheet to help you. If I brought it up with me, that would be wonderful. In the back of the bulletin, I should have it here. Oh my word, I'm missing it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. On the back of the bulletin, you have the outline for the message. There it is. It was behind my... Hopefully you filled in the blanks beforehand. If not, we exist to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Keep this for the rest of the year. I would encourage you to put this somewhere you're going to see it, on the refrigerator, somewhere where you're going to see it every time you interact as a family member here at Grace Baptist. If we remove that foundation of worship, everything else fails, but that leads us to the natural next step in that foundation of connection, where that brings us together. And then these two things, where we are seeking to glorify God and glorify Him together, that is expressed in three ways here. Serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make something very clear. Don't just hang out in one of those pillars. You remove one of the pillars, yeah, you might be okay. The roof might tip a little bit. But if you remove both of two of them and just one, that thing is not going to stand. It will all crumble. We need each one of these three as a church community. Now, you might spend more time in one than the other two, but that's fine as long as we are all participating in these three equally. So let's look at the foundations very quickly. The foundation of worship. That is the very beginning. We exist to glorify God, and worship is merely the act of bringing glory to God. And it is represented by the color blue, because blue represents the depths of the ocean and the heights of the sky, and in fact, the place where those two things meet, the meeting of two extremes. The glorious, high, exalted God comes and meets sinful, unrighteous, unholy humanity. And when those two things meet, that's worship. The natural response is worship. When God meets with us, we simultaneously see His glorious splendor as well as our sinful unworthiness to be in His presence. And yet, in worship, He welcomes us into His presence. That should bring us to a state of complete awe. Anybody who was in the presence of God immediately fell on their face and was in awe of Him. And that is what we are hoping to accomplish here. Jesus said this, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." See, in order to worship God the right way, we must understand the truth. The truth of who He is and the truth of who we are. Those two truths are so essential. We must know who God truly is, and the only way we find that is from what He has shown us of Himself in God's Word. This is God in ink. His words. This is Him telling you, look at who I am. But this is also God saying, look at who you are. The rest of the world is going to try to tell you who you are, but only the one who made you can actually tell you who you are. Have you ever seen those pictures of, you know, the artifact that future aliens are going to find here on Earth and what they're going to think it actually was and what it really was? Like they look at keys and think it was the way we cleaned out our ears or something to that effect. You know, only the maker and manufacturer can actually tell you what the thing is and how it's supposed to be used. Who you really are. So let's be a community of people searching for both of these truths together. Who am I and who is God? Every time we come together, every time you dig into God's Word, ask those two questions. Lord, who are you? Lord, who am I? And who am I meant to be? Because only the Bible tells us, Aaron, you're a sinner, but you're my saved son. You are received. You were rejected because of sin, but you are now received because of what Jesus did. Our identity is wrapped up in these things, so we worship. When we worship, we are cultivating authentic awe of God. That's the next blank in the outline in worship. We are seeing God and ourselves as we truly are. We are cultivating authentic awe of God. And by the way, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not just something that we get together and do on Sunday morning. That's part of it. But if this is the only way you worship, Christian, you are robbing yourself of another 6 days of what you have here. You are robbing, if this is the only way that you are coming into awe of your Creator, you are totally missing out on the other hundreds of hours in the week that this could be a part of your life. Christian, This is a lifestyle. God called us to worship and to lead others to be worshipers of God. So we provide opportunities to declare and observe God's glory as often as we are able. That's why we pour so much into the what we call the worship service. And that's not the only time we worship. This is just offering a time for you to do it together. That's why we do it online. That's why we make sure that everything that we can do to encourage that and foster that for others happens. This is our primary purpose. Without worship, we fall apart. So everything here must be God-centered at Grace. We are not here to show how great grace is. We're here to show how great God is and His grace. We are named after an aspect of God. We're not a business trying to get customers. We're a church family trying to grow the family and show how great our Father is. So not everything that we do we get credit for. Not everything we do gets the public spectacle. There's a lot of things that go unnoticed that Grace Family does. And you know what? That's okay. We don't need the glory. That goes to God. So I was so blessed by the Christmas Eve service. But you know what? What pleased me most? Not once did I hear someone say, "Wow, this is a great church." I heard a lot of comments about our great God. I love that. That's awesome. That's what they should see. Not grace, they should see God when people come here. And we're called to do this individually, not just as a group. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Everything that you do has to have this goal. In the Heidelberg Catechism, the very first question, this is what they used to teach their children. Children my son's age would have 300 some odd questions memorized. And the very first question is, what is the chief end of man? What is the ultimate purpose of your life? And the answer is to enjoy God, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Because when you enjoy God, you're glorifying Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him, the way John Piper puts it, those of you that are familiar with him. We are here to glorify Him, to show who He really is. And when we are all doing that individually, guess what that happens? What happens when we all get together? We're also doing it collectively. It's going to be a natural result. So how do we do it? You do it in your own life. Boast about your God. Talk about how good He is. Because everybody else is thinking, man, everything is broken in this world. Yes, let me show you why. Let me show you the God that is going to fix it all. Let me show you the God that is unbroken and whole and holy. We worship. Think of it this way. We're called ambassadors of heaven. If you're an ambassador to another country, which we are, by the way, we're all strangers in a strange land. Our citizenship is not primarily in the United States. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as Paul tells the Philippians, Christians, he says, live a life worthy of your citizenship, your calling. You're an ambassador. So guess what? As an ambassador, if I showed up to visit with people as an ambassador in another country and I'm in shabby clothes, my breath smells like onions, my hair is unkempt, I've got shaggy beard, I act like a total not nice word, how much of an ambassador am I being? I'm being one, but am I being a good one? But this goes far beyond what we wear and what we eat and how we handle ourselves. It is all about our character. Who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Everyone worships something, right? Something has the ultimate worth in your life. Something or someone. Why not make it someone of the ultimate worth? God. So, we worship and we glorify Him. We cultivate authentic awe of God. We seek for the truth about God and ourselves. So this year, how have we done with worship? We have seen new talent on our worship team. It's awesome to see that. People using their gifts in different ways that have been on that team. And that's fantastic to see. I have seen people worshiping God online. I've seen people worshiping God out in the community. I've seen people glorifying Him, bragging about how good their God is. As a pastor, that does my heart so much good, knowing that you are out there glorifying the God that I love so much. We have lots of talent in the church, people using that to cultivate that. And this is just a sampling on Sunday morning of what's going on the rest of the week. But we have to be aware that there are some challenges to this that we've seen over this past year, haven't there, Ben? We've had technical difficulties just this morning. The entire music set, we had no audio, still no clue why. Again, thank you, Facebook. We've had technical difficulties, and that's been the case since we began the shutdown. Sarah can tell you, how many times did we have to re-record sermons? How many times did we have things go wrong that had no explanation? I mean, it was uncanny. We could count on it. There was going to be some major malfunction. That's the nature of technology. Sometimes, especially right now, we can... Another challenge to this is we have this inward focus, that we want to focus on grace and bringing people here and refilling the pews. You know, it was great to see everybody on Christmas Eve, to see this place almost packed. No, government, that didn't actually happen. I got to remember I'm online. But that is not the purpose here. I don't care if this building is empty, as long as it is about filling the kingdom. If we are filling the kingdom, our purpose here is done. That is our job. That's our mission, to be about the Father's work of fulfilling the kingdom. Jane told me about a song that they're going to be working on starting next week, and I got to tell you, I'm a little excited. I'm going to keep that one under my hat, but it's talking about building the kingdom. Oh, that's going to be great. That's what we're going to start on next week. Building the kingdom by worship and glorifying. And we are constantly in crisis mode. That's another challenge to this. And when you are constantly in crisis mode and you're worried about the things that are going on around you, how are we going to handle this? Where is this going to come from? What's the government going to do here? And all of these things going on around us, we forget something. We forget the God that is over it all. We're focused on the crisis around us, the storms around us, the waves around us, and not the Savior that's guiding us through it. We don't glorify God by going, oh my word, this world is horrible. We glorify God by going, this world might be horrible, but my Lord is good. My Lord is great. Let me tell you about Him. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He cures all diseases. He makes things right. That's my God. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This culture might be changing. Our world is revolutionizing, but God is still the same. He is still the same great God that said, let there be light. And He is the same God that will say to me, Lord willing, one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. From that day until that day, and from this day on, He is still the same good God. Let me tell you about Him. That's how we worship and glorify. There are some challenges, but there's also some great opportunities. You know, we have had people showing up online like never before. Even since the shutdown, we're seeing more and more involvement with our community. You have opportunities, even just by sharing this. Once you guys get home, share this on Facebook. Those of you watching now, share it. Get this out there. Because this is what we're all about. Why not? And we have this opportunity that people sacrificed financially just to make the online happen. So thank you, those of you that were part of that. This was going to be part of something that I was hoping to get done in about 3 years. We had to fast track that real fast in 2020, didn't we? Did not expect this. But praise God, He gave us the abilities, the tools, the talents to make it happen. And also on top of that, we have new connections with other churches and other communities, other, you know, when you're not worried about making your church great, you can partner up with other churches that share the same gospel, that are part of the same kingdom, and reach more people more effectively. It's amazing when Christian communities come together, the synergistic power behind that. Now, I'm not ecumenical, okay? There are churches I will not associate with because they're not a church. They're a cult. They preach heresies. I'm sorry, I can't. But when I find brothers of like faith pastoring churches of like faith, why in the world would we separate? Well, you don't understand. They use rock music. Okay. Or they take a different stance on wardrobe. Miss that chapter in the Bible. Second Opinions 4:12. No. Let's get together for the gospel so that we worship and glorify God together. I'm spending more time on these foundational issues because they're key, they're important. But that worship naturally leads us to this connection, this gathering together for the sake of glorifying God and worshiping together. And we use the color orange. How do you get the color orange? Other than grabbing the orange marker. How do you? Brown and yellow? Come on. Tony, I'm not going to ask how long ago it was you went to school. Yellow and red. Yellow and red. You get two colors and they interact. And we get the color orange that is also associated with fire and the warmth that it produces, which is another interaction of chemicals, oxygen and some sort of fuel. You know what fire is? It's just really fast rust. Making oxygen or oxygenating a chemical very quickly. And you get fire. That interaction, that warmth. It takes two things working together, either friction or oxygen and a flame or a spark and some sort of a fuel. You have to have those two things interacting. And just like orange, just like fire, God has chosen to grow and build and sustain His church by frequent, intentional, and relational interaction amongst the people, where we're warming one another. Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. Well, when you sharpen iron, that friction produces heat. And we warm because of our connection. Throughout the New Testament, we're told to serve one another, to encourage one another, to hold one another in high esteem, to build intimacy with one another, to speak truth to one another, to serve one another, to teach one another, and more than anything, more than any other command, to love one another. Let me ask you, how do you do those things if you're alone? Now, I understand some that are watching online, you're trapped at home. You don't have an option. You're at risk. You're self-protect. I understand that. I'm not speaking to you on this. But there are some that you just didn't get out of your jammies. You're missing the warmth. You're missing the community. You're missing the interaction. You're missing a lot. Because in the middle of crisis, that screen's not going to be there for you. You need a body of believers, a network of brothers and sisters in Christ to support you. Those of you that are here, you are recognizing that. Thank you. I'm so glad to see you here. It does my heart so good. I hated the weeks that I had to just preach to a camera. The thing doesn't give me a head nod or a head shake. I can't tell if it's dozing off. I can't adjust my volume to make sure that you're awake. If that's the way it would work. These all take frequent, intentional, and relational time together. It has to be frequent. If you just come together for Easter and Christmas, you're missing out. You get to hear about the resurrection and His birth. You miss the rest of it, which is actually the good part. Like those are important. But the rest is where the meat is, man. It's got to be frequent. It's got to be intentional. If we're just getting together to get together, and we're not talking, and we're not doing things specifically to grow each other, this doesn't happen by accident. And it has to be relational. Look, if all we do here is come in, sit down, and leave, we're missing a major component. Look, yeah, I'm glad you come and hear me, but You got to interact with one another. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in a Sunday school class. Get involved with each other. Go out to lunch with someone afterward and say, hey, do you think Pastor was totally off base on this one? Because it didn't connect with me. Or you think this guy actually studies? Yes, I do. But be seriously connected and interacting with one another relationally. So we connect, because the people who belong to God belong together. The people who belong to God belong together. God has called us to connect with one another as a loving, serving, and encouraging, helping community called a family. We are a family, a church family. And we are a family for you. We are a family, if you have one, for your family. Because guess what? The women in this church help my wife. And the men in this church help me. Because there are some needs of my wife that I can't meet. Because I don't understand the way women think. Not sure women do either. But you're closer. You're closer. And I understand how men think, and I don't like it. That's why I need other men in the community. We need each other. We need the relationship. If nothing else, this year has taught us this. You need other people. Man, it took me 2 weeks of isolation before I started getting so antsy that I just like, I'm calling somebody. I'm so sick of this. I'm getting some sort of face-to-face if it has to be like half of our face, you know, masks covered. Somehow. We're family. Because everyone has a place here. There's a place for everyone at Grace. We connect. Jesus pointed to this when he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Remember, that's the most common one another command in Scripture. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have proper doctrine. Wait, that's not in this translation. They will know you are my disciples if you wear the right clothes. Nope, not this one either. If you have love for one another. That is the telltale sign, the mark that Jesus says, they'll know you're mine. They'll know you're part of my family if you love one another. You know, you can tell my kids, Jody looks just like her mommy. And CJ, the poor dude, looks just like me. And we actually had one family come and visit that we joked about. It was like, you can tell that entire family because they look just like the dad. Every person, except for the wife, everybody looks like the dad. And she has an excuse. But everybody looks like that. We are going to look like our father that loved the world so much that he came and died for us. He says, they're going to know you are mine when you love one another. And this is the closest form of connection, love. It's what identifies that true follower. Love like this in the community doesn't happen on accident. It's not just a good feeling towards one another. It doesn't happen overnight. Love is nurtured over many experiences together. Love happens in community, and it takes time together. Can you imagine going out on a first date with someone, and within 5 minutes they reach over the table? Gently grab your hand, and they look deep into your eyes and say, I love you. Your next response had better be to run. The person's insane. But if after 50 years of marriage, you can sit across that dining room table, or you got pictures of kids, and you can reach across that table, grasp the hand of your spouse, and look them in the eyes and say, I love you. Oh, does that have so much more meaning? It takes time and experiences together. It'll scare people if you just, as you first come into the church and you say, I love you. No thanks, I'm out. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. But, okay, I've been here 5 years. I've seen some of the scars and ugly sides of the church, and you've seen some of mine. I don't know if you could say it to me, but I'm going to say it to you. I love you. I love this church. Yeah, we've got problems, but I guarantee you they're endearing. And yes, I might not always enjoy it, but it is far better than what other churches are going through. God has brought together a beautiful church family, and he is adding to it, and that's wonderful. I love that. We connect. With this year, to review, we've been connecting online, and not just like people watching the service. We've had people sharing things online. We've got communities, our church family, Facebook page, our different committees or teams. I don't like the term committees. Teams are connecting online. We're sharing things online because we can't do it in person so easily, but we are still getting together as a community, even in person. People are reaching out to those hurting in our church family. We just read a card this morning from Dan Reeder, and he got mad at me one week. He's like, "Pastor, I don't have room for all this food. Stop it. Tell people to stop bringing me food." I was like, "Well, spread it amongst the family. Because our family, you stepped up and you showed love. Thank you." Stuff like that happens all the time. Our deacons have stepped up and they have shown love and connection to others as well. Small groups have been forming connection over various interests and age ranges. It's fantastic to see. And people coming to me, "Pastor, can we start a small group?" You ask that word, those words, that question, my answer is only one word: yes. What can we do to help you? I love that. That's an amazing thing to see. We even had church on the street where we were connecting to people, not only of other churches, but people in the community that came in and now are becoming regular attenders at Grace or another church because it's church on the street. That's fantastic. But as always in 2020, there have been challenges, haven't there? The issues that we have been facing, especially during an election year, there's been a lot of polarization. And let me say this. Anything that will make division between you and another Christian is not from Christ. I'll leave that there. You can apply that to politics. You can apply that to masks. You can apply that to whether we should be socially distancing or not. You can apply that to the color of the carpet. Anything that should make division or could make division between you and another Christian is not from Christ. There is one body, many members. But if my hand says to my foot, "I don't need you," I'm in trouble. The body is in trouble. One of them is not in submission to my head, Christ in the church. We connect. On top of that, the natural challenge of social distancing. See, when we socially distance in 2020, we actually started to distance from each other, and that becomes a difficulty. Hard to maintain a relationship if all you have is not in-person interaction. It's possible, but it's challenging. It's a threat to this. And we have the threat of more distancing coming. That's a reality, a hurdle that, Lord willing, we will overcome as we come to it. Another hurdle that I've already addressed is online convenience. It's so easy just to stay home and watch or listen later on and say, I don't need that community. No, you really, really do. We need each other. We connect. But there are lots of opportunities coming up this year. Planning to continue Church on the Street. Planning to continue, as soon as it gets warm enough that as I'm preaching, people are shaking because they're excited, not because it's so stinking cold outside. That's what we're waiting for. We're planning to continue that. We are having more small groups. If you want to be a host of a small group, and that just means opening your home once a week. That's it. Don't have to be anything fancy. And your house doesn't even have to be clean. Just need a place to sit and talk. Or if you want to lead a small group, we have lots of resources available to you, training available. And on top of that, building personal relationships, because now we're going to be able to connect to people like never before because they are starting to sense their need for people too. We worship, we connect, and we meet people in their moments of need, and that leads us to serve. We serve our community. This is one of the expressions of these two foundations of worshiping and connecting. We serve, and this is using our skills and resources to help others. We use yellow because that represents light. Light shines in the darkness. It illuminates and it brings knowledge. Light reveals the truth to all who see it. The light pouring in here reveals the reality and gives a clear perspective of the truth. I already talked about that on Christmas Eve. But the church is called the light of the world. Don't hide it. Let it be out there for people to see. We shine the light of the gospel when it lives itself out in our lives through humbly serving others like Christ did. He says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your great doctrine. They may hear your wonderful music. They may see your Sunday best outfit where you look like Mr. Rogers. No, they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. How do we bring more people to worship God? By serving them. He says, yeah, let them see your good works, that they may give glory, worship your Father who is in heaven. So we serve. And serving is simply helping everyone take the next step. It's removing the roadblocks between them and God. Because somebody who is starving, literally starving to death, doesn't care that Jesus came and died for them. They're dying. Meet their perceived need. Then we can address their real need. They will be free to understand and listen. God has called us to serve Tyrone and the surrounding community. Look, wherever you are, we're reaching people around the world with this. I hope you understand that. The online. But we are reaching people right here in our world with this. And that's what we're called to do, to serve. We help everyone take the next step in caring for our community. This makes us distinct. Who else serves just for the sake of serving? Just for the sake of doing something good? Not because they want something from you. Look, we're going to serve people that we will never see in this church. But I wonder if we'll see them at the gates of heaven because of something that we did. I wonder. Now, this is balanced between holiness and acceptance. Yes, we accept people, but we remain distinct from the world. Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of it. We're different. We got to remain that way. Now, I'm not calling for a social gospel, though the gospel does have some aspects that are social in nature. One of them is serving our community. So then as we have opportunity, Paul says in Galatians 6:10, he says, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Look, we are not just serving each other in this building. This church, we go beyond the four walls. We serve those in our community. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, don't use it as an opportunity to sin. Don't make it some reason to indulge your own desires. But through love, serve one another. Every time we have a freedom, that means I have something that I can sacrifice for you. That's one of the costs of freedom. It calls for sacrifice. We are free. That freedom gives us the opportunity to willfully serve one another, to humbly search out ways of meeting the needs of the people around us, not under compulsion, but freely as an act of love. That love that we talked about before. So we serve. We serve. We are simply helping everyone take the next step in their walk with God. And we do this in our church. Like in-house stuff, ushering, cleaning, just doing little things to help one another, even big things, providing food for those in need in the church, helping around. Some of you, I'm aware of, you actually help with like house cleaning with people that have a hard time with it. That's a beautiful thing to do right now. Thank you. That's phenomenal. Keep that up. But we also reach outside our church to our community. We have group services, our outreach events, hands and feet type ministry where we're doing things for people that have no immediate connection to our church, Camp Kanasataki, people in the community that have the supplies for a new roof, but just not the manual labor. We provided that. Community cleanup events, needy meals, local missions. That's the whole mindset, doing things locally. And then you do it individually. The ultimate goal is that you would become a servant leader, where you're not only serving people outside the auspices of our church, but you're training other people to do that as well. You're taking somebody along and saying, look, because you're a fellow Christian, I want you to learn how to serve people with me. That's a beautiful thing to see. So how did we do that in 2020? Well, as I already mentioned, Meals for the Hurting was phenomenal. And not just Dan Reeder, there were several. Thank you. People were doing grocery runs, taking care of people that were quarantined and didn't expect to be. And we were able to help one another when we were trapped in our own home. Others showing up and taking care of it. Willingness to serve behind the scenes. There are so many people doing things that you never see in this church. That is amazing to see as a pastor. I get to see a little bit of that. There was a lot of ingenuity and innovation this year, trying to make everything work, trying to get online, making sure that the gospel was still preached even when we couldn't be in this room together. But as always, there were challenges. This idea of just focusing inward on grace may quickly become the only way we think we serve. Oh, I just serve inside the church. I don't do anything outside. Look, I'm a pastor. It is my job to serve in this church. I still take that as a challenge to serve outside the church as well, to serve my community in various ways. And that's not me tooting my own horn. That's me saying, I'm doing that because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a pastor. Christian, you should be doing the same. Follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus didn't just serve the 12, did he? He had 5,000 people that he fed. Now, granted, they were followers at the time, but he served even beyond that. And this year, we've had the challenge of not being able to serve in person. How do you serve somebody that you can't be in front of, that you can't touch directly? A lot of our service requires face-to-face. And there's been this lack of community-wide service options. Usually we do a cleaning up Tyrone, and that just did not happen this year for obvious reasons. So there were some challenges that, by the grace of God, I think we're overcoming in various ways. Because there are opportunities on the horizon. Think about this. Our neighbors are in need like never before. Just dropping off a simple bag of groceries could mean the world to someone. Or a cup of coffee with them. Meeting basic needs like relationship and interaction, even if it's just you talking to them through the window. People are needing that like never before. The elderly in our community that have been pent up since this began. I had the opportunity to stand in the driveway of someone in our church that hasn't been anywhere except for the grocery store since March and just talk with them. And you could sense the hunger for that conversation. And I wished I could have stayed there for hours, but unfortunately I had pressing matters to go to and be with them. So I know you're watching. I'm so sorry. I wish I could have spent more time. Those needs are real in our community, and we have the opportunity. If you're just looking for any other opportunity, out on the Welcome Center, there's this Shape to Serve pamphlet. And it goes through all your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences that God has given you with the opportunity to serve in several areas here on the back. And it's a really quick and easy way to say, you know what? I think I might just fall in that whole serve category. That'd be great. And that serving has no ulterior motive, but it does fit in with that second pillar of seeking. We seek the lost, and that's taking the gospel to those far from God. We seek the lost. We use red because red is linked to rescue, sacrifice, and danger. Its attention-grabbing ability warns of hazards and alerts people with vital information. Think about ambulances, fire trucks, rescue planes, the Red Cross, stop signs, traffic signals, railroad lights, things like that that are warning you, watch out, there's danger. Caution. All Christians are called to sacrifice. Think about what the ancient world thought of with the color red. The blood sacrifice of animals. The sacrifice that was made to cover over our sins. And it gets people's attention today. We actively seek to rescue souls from hell by the power of the gospel, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are on that mission. We are on a rescue mission. James tells us this in James 5:20. He says, "Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So we seek. Because found people find people. Once you've been rescued, you want it for everyone else. If you've been found, you want to find others and say, "Look, this is where the rescue and hope is." God has called us to seek those who are far from Him and bring them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the hope of the gospel. We don't have to force it on them, but we are called to give them no excuse. Think about this. You're approaching an intersection and the light goes green, yellow, red. Your car automatically stops, right? No. That red light doesn't apply the brakes for you. Unless you've got one of those fancy schmancy high-tech Teslas or whatever that does that. I don't got the budget for that. It doesn't do that automatically. The red light shines nonetheless. People are going to ignore it. That's not on you. The red light doesn't stop shining. Well, somebody ran me. Somebody rejected my message of stop and they got T-boned. I might as well hang it up. No, it shines just the same. That's what we are called to do, Christians. To be warning. Look, where you are heading is not a place you want to go. But I know the Jesus, the Savior, that will deliver you from it. Let me tell you about Him, please. Can I tell you about Him? No, I don't need that. Yes, you do. Christian, we share. Whether or not they accept it, that's not on you. That's not on you. But if we don't share it, if that red light doesn't shine, what happens? Disaster. We need to be on that rescue mission. We save a soul from death, and that's not just physical death. That's spiritual torment in hell for eternity, where you are apart from everything good in God. And you have nothing but His wrath, His anger, and His justice. We are on a rescue mission. We are to be on the offensive, not just waiting for the lost to come to us, but to actively seek them out. See, sometimes we have this whole idea of evangelizing to people means, hey, I go to church, and we tell them that, and we try to live a good life. You know, there's this old saying, I forget which church father it was off the top of my head, but preach the gospel if you must, use words. No. It has to be both. Use your words and your actions. Both. You're on a rescue mission. They are not silent in a rescue mission. You know, they shout for the person. Johnny, where are you, Johnny? Because then Johnny, who is down in the well, and Lassie went and found some help. Timmy was in the well, wasn't it? He gets to hear and know, oh yeah, me, help me. We're on a rescue mission. We use both. That's our role. That's our mission. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the mission of rescuing. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore,
We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Notice he uses us and we language. It's not just Paul saying, this is my mission in life. He's saying, this is our mission in life. He is entrusted to everyone who has received the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is entrusted to you the task of sharing that with other people. Not just in the way you speak, not just in what you do on Sunday, but in every part and aspect of your life. You are either guiding a person to Christ or damning them to hell by everything that you say and do. We are on a rescue mission. We seek out souls who are far from God, rescue them from hell through the power of the gospel. That's where the power is, not me or you. The power is in the gospel. I love the way J.D. Greer put it, though. God did not change you to quarantine you. He said that before this year, by the way. God did not change you to quarantine you. He converted you and changed you to commission you to a specific mission. From the time you are saved, God has a mission for you, and that's to reach the lost. Seek. We seek. How did we do that this year? Well, first, how do we seek, period? Well, that starts by inviting. That's great. Invite people to church, invite people to our events, even our revival meetings. That's great. We also share. You share your testimony, whether that's out on the streets when we're street evangelizing or at work. And because you're a found person, you're trying to find people, and you bring the basics of the gospel, you give out tracts, you visitation as a group, perhaps. We're going door to door. I'm sure Dan Reeder, now he's going to be doing that more than ever because, man, he's keeping himself busy. He's going to go door to door, and I'm sure he would love to bring you along with him. And we then also talk about personal evangelizing. You know, sometimes we don't do it as a group. Sometimes it's just you being there with someone who needs the good news of Jesus Christ. We had Christmas where you get to gather with family members. I don't know about you, but I got unsaved family members. Or you connect with friends that maybe you haven't talked with in a long time that need to know about Jesus. Bring them up in the conversation. No, obviously, it's not going to be, hey, I know you wanted to catch up over these years, but let me tell you about Jesus Christ first. Just brag on your God. It'll come up naturally. And the ultimate goal of this is for you to be a soul winner, for you to be able to teach others how to seek out the lost as well. How you, as a found person, teach others to find people. So how did we do that? This year, we had street evangelism. Some people came out for that. That was awesome. I loved it. We even had evangelism training, and people came to that as well. We had guests at the revival services that don't come to our church. We've had new faces at our church. The online is having an impact. You yourselves are impacting people in the community, and that's bringing people as well. And you've been sharing online, and that's great to see. I mean, if nothing else, that is a quick, easy way to share. Literally, it's a button. It says share. That's all you got to do. But that is the beginning way of just this inviting. There have been some serious challenges this year, though, as far as the seeking the lost, hasn't there? I mean, when we talk about street evangelism, there's been very little foot traffic. People don't want to stop and talk to somebody that's out on the street that's a stranger. People might not be out shopping. They don't want to hang around as much. There's distancing. There's personal fear. People are just afraid of other people right now. Have you noticed that? That we're beginning to become afraid of each other? I don't want to be around them, you know. He coughed. I don't want to be around that. Whereas before, you know, person coughs, it's like, all right, you need a throat lozenge? Here, you need my bottle of water? Here, drink out of that, and I'll drink after it later. You know, it's changed some things in our culture. And honestly, one of the big things is right now people are angry at God. I understand that's a real thing. And it's understandable why. This world is going somewhere in a handbasket. People are upset that God's letting it happen, but he told us 2,000 years ago it was coming, so it's not like we haven't had opportunity. So do we have opportunities coming? Absolutely. This year, I'm still planning to do street evangelism right here in Tyrone, but we also go up to State College. right on College Ave, main strip with a whole bunch of restaurants, and we talk to people. And man, those are some intense conversations, because once you get an academic, whoo, they got theory about everything. It's a whole lot of fun, though. Nothing will grow you further in your faith with Christ than standing for it with someone. Street evangelism. If you're interested in that, please connect with me. We need it. This town needs it more than ever. We are hoping to have evangelism training as well. I'll be leading that. We've had guests come in and do it. That doesn't seem to be as popular as if I say, okay, what if I were to do it? Okay, then yeah, definitely. All right, so whatever. I'll do that. We've got online messaging, personal conversations, and people in desperate longing for God, because while people are angry for God, they're still hungry for Him. You ever been angry at your spouse and yet you really miss them when you guys are like one of you sleeping on the couch? Wake up the next morning, go, I didn't sleep that well. I think that's where people are with God. I reject God. And then they start living life without Him. I'm not rejecting God. I'm saying that's what they would say. And then they live life without Him, and all of a sudden they realize, oh no, I really want Him. I really want Him bad. So we are going to be here for them and be there for them. Go to them. We seek. And finally, we serve, we seek, we grow. And this is developing our Christ-likeness through His Word. And we use the color green because it's associated with life, this advancement and growth. It identifies environments that support vibrance, development, productivity. Think about rainforests. Think about where you have a garden and it's lush and green. It's filled with life. It's verdant. It is glorious. That's growth. When God calls us to eternal life, He calls us to a lifetime of growth and being conformed to His image. See, without spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life or health. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you are not growing spiritually, if you cannot say that in 2020 you grew spiritually, that meant in 2020 you were dying spiritually, even with everything that's going on. I understand it, but that doesn't make it what you want it to be. In 2021, make that a year committed to growing, where you are going to say, as I look back on the last Sunday of December in 2021, I'm going to say, wow, look at what God did. Look at how He changed me. We grow. God calls us to grow. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement. That's a growing word. Supplement. Adding. Accretion. Addition. Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. A sermon could be made on that verse alone. In fact, an entire series of sermons. But enough, suffice it to say that we need to be growing, and this gives us a bit of a roadmap on how that happens. And supplement your godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, there's more growth language for you, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we grow, and we are growing in God's Word. Those things are ours in increasing abundance with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowledge should lead to growth as we apply it. And everything that it says here is character. Everything that it says here is about our character and behavior. We grow when we take the truth of God's Word that we dug up while we were worshiping and applying it to our lives. You know, many of us were lied to when we were a child. How many of you remember this song? Read your Bible, pray every day. How many of you sang that one? Or you taught kids to sing that one? It's a lie. Because the whole line is, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I know a lot of spiritual midgets that read their Bible and pray every day. You know, I actually know unsaved people that read the Bible every day. Not only are they not growing, they're still spiritually dead. They haven't been born yet. See, it's only when you read your Bible, pray every day, and listen and apply to what God says that you grow. When you actually obey and you follow Him, that you grow. See, God has not called us to come to this building on Sunday, sit in a seat, sing some songs, hear some words spoken, flip through some pages of the Bible, and mumble some prayers every day. He has called us to a living, breathing, vibrant relationship with Himself that is going to transform the way we live. It's about life, not knowledge, not feelings. It's about a life with Him. A relationship that's growing deeper every day and transforms us from the inside out as we are made more like Him. That is what we see. And this is based on God's Word. It is based on that knowledge, but it is not only that knowledge. It happens when we are hungering and thirsting after God. By the way, each person is responsible for their own growth. I, as your pastor, am responsible to feed you. The Bible tells me that I am to feed the sheep. Nowhere does the Bible say, pastors, make sure your sheep grow. I'm to teach you. I'm to give you the truth. You are responsible for your own growth. I cannot make you grow any more than the farmer can make his crops grow. It has to do it on its own. He sows the seed. He does the work in the field. He can even fertilize it and give the crop all it needs to flourish. But the crop needs to grow itself. This is based on God's Word, and that is where the growth begins. We grow deeper in our relationship with God and each other through God's Word. That's why we are told, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We are to grow in so many ways. We do that best in community. We grow best when we grow together. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And with every day of 2020, I was wondering, all right, Lord, we're hearing the trumpet today. Will it be today? Will it be today? Okay, what about today? Can it please be today? Please? All right, Christmas. Hold on. Wait a second. All right, it's the day after Christmas. Can we have it today? That should be an encouragement to one another. That we challenge one another to grow. Look, one of the reasons I enjoy the fellowship and connection of our church family is people, especially like in our small group. If you ever come to small group, we have some mildly heated discussions, don't we? No, we don't actually argue, but it is an excellent opportunity to grow. Because we can get trapped in our own thinking and in our own way of life, but when we grow together, other people are saying, no, this is a blind spot you need to fix. And you need that. We grow best when we grow together. We grow. We have opportunities for that. Some of you might have very limited understanding of what's actually in the Bible. We actually have a basics class where you go through and you understand the big themes of Scripture, the big ideas of the books of the Bible, and you begin to understand what everything is there, and you get the big beliefs, a general outline of what God has been doing since creation began to the day when He recreates everything in the universe at the very end of time. But this also comes to a level of study beyond just the basics, where you understand what's called hermeneutics, how you know what the Bible is saying and how you understand it. And attached to that, systematic theology, which is just understanding what the Bible says about a specific topic. What does the Bible say about prayer? What does the Bible say about angels? What does the Bible say about miracles? What does the Bible say about the Spirit? Things like that. And Lord willing, we're going to be getting together. And if everything goes according to plan in 2021, we should have both of those in place, where we will have a brief study in hermeneutics, where within 6 or 7 weeks, you'll be able to understand how to understand the Bible. And then an ongoing study of theology, which is going to be so broad of a spectrum, but it's going to be extremely helpful and in-depth. And then finally, it's your own personal application, being able to say, all right, the Bible says that angels are just created beings that serve God and does whatever He wants. So should I be praying to them? Probably not. You're going to be able to take those truths of Scripture, not only understand what Scripture says about it, but piece the parts together and be able to change your life based on that. And eventually, the goal is for me to be out of a job, for you to be self-leading. That what I do on Sunday, where I just explain what Scripture says and then apply it to your life, that's really all it is. That you won't need me for that. It's just, you come here and I'll do it for you for a little bit. Give you a break, a rest. That's the ultimate goal. So how have we done with this final pillar in 2020? Well, I don't know of many churches that have as many Sunday school classes as we do. Like, we've had to close some because there weren't people in that age group, weren't kids in that age group. But my goodness, as far as our adult Sunday school classes, we have a lot of options, and that's great. I love that. As well as small groups to be a part of, where we are growing, where we are learning. That's been phenomenal. There have also been one-on-one mentoring relationships. Now, when I was youth and family pastor, I started that. And there are relationships still ongoing. And then there are people forming relationships right now where they're helping each other grow. That's phenomenal. I love seeing that. As always, there are challenges, though. We do have no specific classes for the hermeneutics, for the systematic theology, some things because of the lockdown. We kind of had other things we had to sort through first, even if we were going to meet together in person. In our church family, as well as in our community, there's a level of biblical illiteracy, of lack of knowledge, that I could tell you, all right, you're going to open to the book of Hezekiah. Some of you would actually start flipping pages. There's no book of Hezekiah. He was a king. A lack of familiarity of what's in there. And people missing in-person gatherings. Again, not the ones that have to, but the ones that choose to. And we are being threatened with further shutdowns. There is laziness. I understand that it is so much easier, instead of getting up, getting dressed, getting your coffee, getting your breakfast, everything else, to be able to just sit there, eat breakfast, and listen to me speak. I understand it's easier, but it's not better. Because if you're just in this for me, you're totally missing the majority of the people here, building into one another. And for some, we don't grow because of one word. Pride. I'm good enough. I don't need to grow. I'm good. I'm where I want to be. Look, if you think you don't struggle with sin, you're struggling with the sin of arrogance. There, we've identified it. Now let's work on it. We grow. So what opportunities do we see coming up in 2021? Well, there's continuing mentoring. Hopefully we're going to get intergenerational mentoring going, but this whole we can't meet with each other type situation, that presents a challenge to that. As I said, we are hoping to have those classes coming of hermeneutics, where you understand what the Bible says, and then theology, where you put it all together. And there is a growing interest in biblical truth, not just in our church, but in our community. On Tuesday nights, I've been doing the Ask a Pastor, and people from the community have been coming and realizing, oh my goodness, you mean there are answers to the questions that I have? Yeah, it's amazing. When you crack open the pages of this book, the answers that are there, that you've had all these years while it's been collecting dust on your shelf. I love what Spurgeon says about that. There are some of your Bibles at home that have enough dust on them to write damnation on the cover. That's a sad statement. People are beginning to understand there are answers to this. You mean the world getting worse is something God actually said? Yes. But ultimately, it will get better. We grow. So we put these things together into this model of what we, as a church body, believe God has for us. Our vision statement, that we exist to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Where do you need to connect? Where do you need to jump in? And I'm not asking you to do something that you're not comfortable with. There are super simple, easy things that you can do with things that you're passionate about. Some of you are already serving in those areas. That's great. Okay, now where do you need to take the next step? Where do you need to grow? Maybe you're the type of person, I just want to do something with my hands. Yeah, but God didn't just redeem your hands. He redeemed your brain too. Where do you need to grow? Or maybe you're like me. I'm more of an academic. I like to sit and read a book and grow my brain. And I neglect the fact, oh yeah, there's somebody that needs some work done. Where do you need to serve? Where do you have opportunities? How could you connect to that? And then there's that middle one. We're actually going to take the first month of the year and work on seeking the lost. Because honestly, we are surrounded by people that are dying, and I don't mean by COVID. People that are dying from sin. We need to seek the lost. We're on that rescue mission. In the year ahead, actually, I hope every sermon will fit into one of these five categories of worship: connect, serve, seek, and grow. Not because everything else is unimportant. God, of course, has the authority to step in and say, Aaron, I actually have a different plan. And he will. He already has started changing things. I make my plan. God points and laughs. He changes it. But I think there is so much here that we need to dive into and focus on and be able to get the most out of it as possible. So my final question to you is, where do you need to plug into this? Where are you in this model? If this is your first time with us, maybe you're just at the level of worship. That's fine. If we are helping you cultivate an authentic awe of God, our hope is that it builds a connection to the church family, not just here at Grace, wherever God leads you. Or maybe you're in the upper tier of one of those pillars where you are a selfless servant leader, a self-taught grower, a soul-winning seeker. Maybe you need to turn around and train somebody else. Maybe you need to take somebody under your wing and teach them how to get to where you are. This is our vision, that we exist to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Would we be able to say, as a church, that we would rather have something else or that Jesus is enough? We're going to close with a familiar hymn, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." So many times we have other things that vie for our attention that have nothing to do with what's up here, have nothing to do with what's in here. I'd encourage you, can you actually say this? Can you honestly say you would rather have Jesus than anything? May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Amen. May God grant our heart's desire to glorify him in 2021. May you go in peace.